الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله كما ينبغي لجلاله وجهه وعظيم سلطانه. اللهم علمنا ما تنفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا به. Oh Allah, teach us what benefits us and benefit us from that which you have taught us. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه وخليله، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد، كما صليت وسلمت وباركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين. Dear Muslims, the subject of this khutbah is the method, the way, the technique that the Messenger of Allah used to teach his companions, to convey the knowledge to his companions. The Messenger of Allah was not just passing knowledge to his companions, he was building leaders that were able to lead humanity. After the death of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his companions faced major challenges, and they were able to deal with those challenges successfully after his death. After the death of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they faced the challenges of the Rizq. People who said, "We used to give zakah to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now that he passed away, we are not required to pay the zakah anymore." A major challenge that they had faced after his death sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they were able to deal with that challenge successfully. They faced the challenge of gathering the Qur'an in one book. The Qur'an was written on pieces of leather. Some of it was memorized. And after the death of the Messenger of Allah, they agreed to gather the Qur'an in one book. Something the Messenger of Allah never spoke about. To deal with the challenge of Muslims who come. How do you deal with that? They were able to build jails after the death of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there were no jails in his time. New challenges that they had faced, and they were able to deal with them successfully because of the way the Messenger of Allah taught his companions. He was not just passing knowledge, he was building leaders that were able to think and reflect. The Messenger of Allah taught them how to understand why something is halal or haram, why something is permissible or not permissible. He was asked one time, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Can we change moist dates with dry dates equally?" He did not say yes, no, halal, haram. He asked a question. أينقص الرطب إذا جف؟ That most days, when it dries up, does it lose weight or not? Think of the laundry that we do. Before you put it in the dryer, it's so heavy. After it dries up, it is so light. the sort of messenger of Allah, the whole space will dry up, it loses weight. This is Eid al-Fitr. Then you cannot exchange an equal weight of moist days with an equal weight of dry days. Because the moist days, when it loses its moist, it will lose weight. Look at how the Messenger of Allah is developing this facility of thinking in their mind. He's not just giving answers. He's telling them how to arrive at an answer and why. And with that, when he said, وَخِدِّذِي أَحَدُكُمْ خَرَقًا, that for the married people when they sleep with their wife, it's an act of sadaqah, charity. And the man was asked, O Messenger of Allah, when someone of us acts upon his sexual desire lawfully, will he get rewarded for it? He didn't say yes, no. He said, أَرَأَيْتَ إِنْ وَضَعَهَا فِي حَرَامٍ أَكَانَ عَلَيْهِ وِزْرٌ. Have you seen if he has acted on his sexual desire unlawfully? Will he be accounted for it or not? Likewise, if he acts upon his sexual desire lawfully, he gets rewarded for it. The Messenger of Allah is teaching them why something is allowed for that. The Messenger of Allah is teaching them the etiquette of asking questions. Sometimes it is required to ask a question to know. And sometimes it is not. When it becomes some kind of speculation or hypothesis. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith, that the worst sin then a Muslim would commit is to ask about something that does not exist, is halal or haram. Then it becomes haram because of him asking. The other day a brother was asking in the masjid if someone is picking his nose and then he wants to shake his hand with me to say assalamu alaikum, do I shake his hand or not? And I said, did it happen? He says, no, I'm just hypothesizing. What will it happen? What will it do if it happens? Something never happened. A brother was asking if in Ramadan my wife is pregnant and this happens, what would I do? And the brother is not even married, let alone having a baby. I qualified. We should not ask questions about things that never happened. If it happened, ask that question. In other situations, the Messenger of Allah is telling him to ask that question. To know. When one of the companions who was wounded and he has to make a ghusl, and he asked his companions around him, if I take a bath, it will have a negative effect on my wound. They said, no, you have to take the ghusl, there's no excuse. And he took the bath and he died. And when the Messenger of Allah found out, he said, قَتَلُوهُ قَتَلَهُمُ اللَّهُ. They have killed him. Can they ask? إِنَّمَا شِفَاءُ الْعِينِ سُؤَالَ. The cure for ignorance is to ask. A balance between asking and not asking. The Messenger of Allah taught the Sahaba how to think. He's telling them among the trees is a tree that does not shed any leaves. And it is like the Muslim. What tree is it? Among the trees is a tree that does not shed any leaves. And it is like the Muslim, like energy, strength, and steadfastness. The Messenger of Allah does not give them the answer. He's teaching them to think. What tree is it that does not shed any leaves? And then people keep guessing about different trees. And Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma said, I knew exactly which tree is it. But I was shy to tell the answer to the Messenger of Allah. And he said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it is a palm tree that does not shed any leaves. Look at how the Messenger of Allah is teaching his companion by asking a question. If you want the student to learn and memorize the answer, don't give them the answer. Make it more interesting, more exciting. Have them think and guess. And that's what the Messenger of Allah was doing. The Messenger of Allah told them that to learn something has its tax. There's a duty or obligation or a tax that you and I have to pay. If we read a book, listen to a tape, or come for a Friday book, there's a tax that we have to pay. And that tax is to convey this knowledge to others. And the Messenger of Allah is telling us, نظر الله امرئ صنع مقالتي فوعاها فأداها كما سمعها فرب مبلل أوعى من ثاني. May Allah bless a person who listens, learns something, understood it. And he conveyed it to another person. And then he says, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, maybe the person that he conveyed that message to will act upon it more than he did. And it happens. Sometimes we learn a hadith or an ayah or something and we tell other people about it and they say, SubhanAllah. And they start doing it. And we're not doing it ourselves, even though we're the first to listen to it. So the Messenger of Allah is telling us, this is the task of knowledge. The obligation of knowledge is to convey it to others. Because maybe the person that you convey to will act upon it more than you. The Messenger of Allah is combining between a group learning and individual learning. This is a group learning. We're all must learn from each other. And you find so many times in the hadith, كنا مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بينما كنا مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Together as a group we were them with the Messenger of Allah. That's a group learning environment. In other situations, we need to have the individual teacher, the one-on-one. And so many instances, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will have this group of individual learning. Mu'adh radiallahu anhu says, I was riding behind the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he asked me, no one else that. Individual learning between Mu'adh and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he keeps asking him, do you know the right that Allah has on his servant? And this is something for all of us. There are times where we have to have the group learning, and there are times with our children, our spouses, our friends, where we take one on one, more of a private lesson. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us to use whatever tools or equipment is available to us to convey the message. It could be visual. And the Messenger of Allah in one hadith says, أَنَا وَكَافِرُ يَتِينِ كَهَيْتَيْ. That the Messenger of Allah and the guardian of the orphan are as close as this in paradise. Look at the Messenger of Allah, how he's using his hand to convey a message of the reward of the person who takes care of the orphan. Using his hand makes the message very, very strong. When I go home, I may not remember what he said, but I will remember pointing the two fingers. Sometimes the Messenger of Allah would use examples to convey the message. He says in the Hadith that Allah is more happier with the repentance of his servant than a man in the desert who lost his camel that has his water and food and belongings, and he's sitting there waiting to die. And then he found his camel. He was so excited. He said, Allahumma anta abdi wa la rabbi. Oh Allah, you are my servant and I am your Lord. He made a mistake. He was so happy. He made a mistake. Allah is more happier with the repentance of his servant than this man is when he found his camel. Look at the Messenger of Allah and how he's conveying the message of how happy Allah is when his servant repents and goes back to him, using an example. May not be a practical one, but use an example to convey the message. Sometimes he will use the blackboard. He draws a line in the sand and he says, this is the straight path of Allah Almighty. And he draws crooked lines to the right or the left. Different paths. On the head of each path is a shaitan. But there is only one straight path. Look at the Messenger of Allah. How we use visual aid to convey a message. There's only one straight path to paradise, and be aware of the crooked path that will not lead you to paradise. Visual aid. Sometimes the Messenger of Allah would use examples from the nations before to convey a message. In the Hadith, he mentions the story of the three people who were stuck in a cave. And the door or the opening of the cave was blocked by a big rock. And each one of them would mention a good deed that they have done. And every time a good deed is mentioned, the rock would move a little. The Messenger of Allah is telling us about how to get out of difficulty or harm. Because in our history, each one of us, we have gone out of our way to do something for others, like in this case. And the Messenger of Allah used an example from the past to tell us about the importance of extending or stretching our hands to others to help us. It's a long hadith. Sometimes the Messenger of Allah would swear to emphasize the message. You see in so many hadith, he says, وَأَيْدُ اللَّهِ أَسْوَرْ بَأَلَّهِ وَالَّذِي نَفْسِ مُحَمَّدٌ بِيَلِي أَسْوَرْ بَأَلَّهِ and whose hand is my soul. وَاللَّهِ لَا يُؤْمِنْ وَاللَّهِ لَا يُؤْمِنْ وَاللَّهِ لَا يُؤْمِنْ أَسْوَرْ بَأَلَّهِ is not a believer. أَسْوَرْ بَأَلَّهِ is not a believer. أَسْوَرْ بَأَلَّهِ is not a believer. Mr. open our hearts and our ears. Who is the one who does not believe? Sometimes he would change his position. وَكَانَ مُتَّكِيًا فَجَلَسَ He was lying down and he stood up, or he sat down, to convey a message. The Messenger of Allah would even change the tone of his voice if he wants a companion to pay attention to a message. A technique that the Messenger of Allah is using to emphasize certain matters. The Messenger of Allah would ask the student if he understood the message or not. Not just he says, he wants to make sure if the student understood the message or not. In the Hadith, he told Bara' radiallahu anhu the dua that he made before you sleep. And the Messenger of Allah said, A'idhu alayhi. Now tell me what you have learned. He wants to make sure that he memorized the dua correctly. Al-Bara' says, he repeated the dua and says, وَبِرَسُولِكَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ And with your messenger that he has sent. The Messenger of Allah says, وَبِنَبِيِّكَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ And with your prophet that he has sent. الثقة تريدونهم تأكسن how did you memorize this? How did you understand this hadith? To make sure you have got the message correctly. Sometimes the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would encourage the student. Something that most of us lack. That positive enforcement. Encourage the student for coming, for listening, for sitting down, for sacrificing half an hour or an hour of the time to learn something. Encourage. He asked one time, Abu Hurairah asked him one time, مَنْ أَسْعَدُ النَّاسِ بِشَفَاعَتِكَ O Messenger of Allah, who is the happiest person with your shafa'ah, with your intercession? A question. A student is asking. Look at the Messenger of Allah, and he says, Oh Abu Hurairah, I thought no one would ask me this question except you. Because you are so keen to learn the hadith. How would Abu Hurairah feel about this? That he's being told by the Messenger of Allah you are the only one who asked this question and you are so keen to learn that. Positive enforcement. Ubay ibn Ka'ab, the Messenger of Allah asked him, أَيُّ آيَاتِ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ عَظِمُ هو أبو أبا المنذر What is the greatest verse in the Quran? Ubay ibn Ka'ab says, Ayat al-Kursi. Oh, message of Allah, it is Ayat al-Kursi. That is the greatest verse in the Quran. The message of Allah tells him, La yahlaka al-ilm ya Abu al-Munzir. Congratulations for you, Abu al-Munzir, for the knowledge that you have. Look at the message of Allah and how he's given the encouragement. The good news to the student for learning something, for getting the correct answer. We take things for granted so many times. When we come home, alhamdulillah, the house is clean and the food is there, we never thank our wife for anything. We take it for granted. When something is done good for us, it is jazakallah. That's the best we should do. We could do. When we shake hands, it's salam alaykum and that's it. We need to take it a step higher. Assalamu alaykum should not be just a salam. It should be a warm salam alaykum. If it is a time for Hajj, you say, inshallah, maybe this year will be in Hajj together. If it is Ramadan, inshallah, may Allah accept our fasting. Inshallah, we'll pray together in Medina or Mecca. Leave the other person to you. Do not make it, we should not make it like a routine salam alaykum or a routine dua or a routine thank you or jazakallah. And always think about what has been done right and marginalize and minimize what was done wrong. My son, he got 9 out of 10 questions right on the math exam. My only focus was on the question that he got wrong. How did he miss that question? Why did he miss it? It's very simple. He got the most difficult question right, and the simple question he got wrong. This was my attitude. Was this the right attitude or not? How would he feel when he got 9 questions right and 1 wrong? And my focus was on the questions he got wrong. We do this with our spouses, our brothers, our sisters all the time. We think at the small thing that we have done wrong or did not do right or did not meet our expectations, and this becomes the criteria for judging. Focus on the big picture. Focus on the problem. All of us feel very good when we get a phone call from our bosses, good job on this, or an email. Or when they come to our cubicle or office to say thank you for this report or this job or this project or this project, we feel very good. We need to do the same to others to make them feel good and happy about what they have done. It is the right thing to do, and it is the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah. قولوا قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي لا غيره ولا رب سواه، واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له، واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى اله وصحبه وسلم. لما كذب الله وسلم through teaching the companions, give us the tools, the way, the method that it is that we should use to convey knowledge, to teach others. Be it by asking them what they have learned, be it by using visual aids, blackboards, PowerPoint, drawing, pictures, be it by asking them questions to make it more interesting, be it by asking them to think versus giving them the right answer, be it by repeating himself many times, be it by keeping the message very short and concise, or by encouraging them for what they have done right and marginalizing and minimizing what they have done. We have a good example in the Messenger of Allah that we need to apply in our lives, in the way we teach, in the way we give da'wah, in the way we interact with our spouses, our children, our brothers, our sisters, Muslims or not. Allahumma ja jama'ana hadha jama'an marhuma wa tafarruqna min ba'dihi tafarruqan ma'asuma wa la taj'al fina wa la baynana wa la minna shaqiyan wa la mahruma. Allahumma aati nufusana taqwaha wa zakkiha anta khayru man zakkaha anta waliyuha wa mawlaha. Allahumma ansur al-islam wa izzal al-muslimin wa a'li li fadlika kalimatay al-haq wa al-din. Allahumma hadha al-du'a wa minka al-ijaba. Allahumma hadha al-jahdu alayka al-tuflan. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. وأقم الصلاة.